talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 55.
Hello.
So tonight we've got William. That was William.
And we've got me.
Elizabeth here with us.
Yes.
And we have Henry here running the drops. Give yourself a round of applause, Henry. Proud.
Woo.
The crowd goes wild for Henry.
Good crowd out here tonight. How's everybody doing?
Meh.
Henry's running the drop. Oh, wait. I think
we're So we're doing okay. We're almost through June. It's almost July. I think we need to give a weather update because I think the main reason people listen to podcasts
is for the weather
update. Is to hear about the weather.
Were you waiting for me to say it?
It's hot.
That's the main reason. It's not that bad, actually. Considering that it's almost July, it's hot, but it's not like boiling hot yet. William saw something the other day that he wanted to talk about on the podcast. William, do you want to tell us what you saw?
So, Mom and Henry went to a scout camp that Henry's doing.
Cub Scout camp?
Yeah, me and Phoebe went. We're walking to Andy's Frozen Custard Bliss. And on the way, we were just walking on the sidewalk, and suddenly I screamed. And there was a snake that was about the thickness of...
The thickness of something that's thick. Like, bigger than...
Like a paper towel roll,
paper
maybe.
Paper towel roll.
Less than a paper towel roll, but like...
I think it was well, not like one that has all the paper towels on it, but like just the skinny tube in the middle. It was bigger than that, right?
Yeah, it was slightly more thick than that. So it was a big snake.
And about how long was it?
Easy, stop it.
Too long.
Too long. Maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 5 feet long.
Yeah, and it was like curled up. I'm pretty sure that was dead because there was blood around its head, but it still terrified me. And me and Fee walked around that because I don't care if it's dead or not. I'm not going to risk it.
Did it make you jump?
Yes.
So later that night, you guys told me about it, and we went. I took you guys because we were the only ones home, you and me and Phoebe. And I took you to a Tex-Mex place that was close by, and it was close to where the snake was. So we drove over to take a look at it, and it was kind of on the sidewalk, so we peeked at it. It was indeed dead. There was a little bit of blood near its head.
Good.
But it was a good-sized snake. But I did determine it was not a dangerous snake. It wasn't a poisonous snake. It was a Texas rat snake.
But it's still deadly.
But it looked pretty impressive. It was all scaly and big and kind of fat.
Well, Mom thought that it might be a copperhead.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I looked at it. Copperheads have a different coloring, and I looked it up. I looked up a rat snake, and that's exactly what it looked like.
That reminded me of that one time when we thought that we... At our old house when we thought that there was a rattlesnake around. But we had to have like a snake person come and see it, and he said that it was a Texas brown snake.
Oh yeah, I remember that. It was just a little guy. This guy was big though. It was definitely a big enough snake that if you saw it, it would make an impression.
Yeah, it did. It did make an impression.
Yeah. Did you actually jump, do you think? Do you think you jumped off the ground?
Sorry, Maisie's trying to eat me.
Yeah, Maisie's being a little annoying right
Maybe
now.
Maybe Maisie will eat you if you're not careful.
We get it. You're cute.
I didn't need that foot.
So, Phoebe said that you screamed. Did you scream?
Yes, but I used to... I don't think that I used to scream like a girl. But now my voice is starting to crack, so I screamed like... I don't know. It was really weird.
Just a weird, like a, strange scream.
It was like I was trying to scream at parts of it. Wasn't screaming because I could no longer hit that pitch.
Yeah. I did. So when we went and looked at the snake, I took a picture of it. So I will post it on our Instagram or our Twitter so that our listeners can see what it looks like. But it was a pretty big, ugly snake.
And Mom was texting us.
I felt bad for it, though, because it was a harmless snake. And it was right there on the sidewalk in the middle of... the suburbs.
And then Mom
and
was...
someone smashed its head in.
And then Mom was texting us, like, text back in all caps of her freaking out.
Yeah, I texted a picture of it to Mom, and she was like, what the heck is that? So, she was pretty shocked. But it was a harmless snake, but a big snake. So that is William Snake's story. Elizabeth's got an announcement, an important announcement. Play us a drum roll.
I'm changing my new favorite color to yellow. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so I have been talking about, and we're finally going to do a small side podcast called TTD&D.
TTD&D.
Yeah, TTD&D. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but what we're going to do is Dad, Henry, and William are going to play D&D with me as their DM, their dungeon master, and we're going to podcast it, and it's going to be great.
So we're going to play Dungeons & Dragons, which is mm-hmm. a game that I don't think I've ever played. I think I played something like that, like a role-playing mm-hmm. game with my friends in high school way back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it. It just didn't work for me. Like, my brain couldn't wrap around the fact that the dungeon master was just sort of making it up as we went along. But I'm going to give it a good try, and we're going to try it again.
Yeah.
And it could be entertaining.
Yeah. And it's basically, for those uninitiated, you can definitely follow along if you don't play Dungeons & Dragons, if you don't know how it works. We're going to do what we Dungeons and Dragoners call homebrew, which is basically like, we're not going to follow any official guidebooks or anything. We are going to keep to the general rules, but I think I'm going to take out most of the more complicated stuff for these guys. And because I personally find a lot of that just sort of like, okay, yeah, I don't want to have to sit there and do math in my head for most of the game. So it's mostly going to be a role-playing game.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like structured storytelling in a way, right?
Yeah, it's structured storytelling. Each one will play a character. I'm your narrator, storyteller, and master of your fate. I will be playing all of the non-player characters, all of everybody that you interact with that's not in your group.
NPCs.
NPCs. I'll, you know, oversee all the battles and enemies and stuff. And you guys will be playing each individual character. We've got, Dad's going to be playing a half-elf ranger, which in this case is an archer. Henry's going to be playing a neutral good bard who loves baking pies. And William's going to be playing a
pie maker.
William's going to be playing a neutral evil dragonborn wizard. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so we're doing this. We're not exactly sure how this is going to turn out, but what it'll be is it'll be like bonus episodes. So it won't be our main podcast. We'll keep the main podcast going, you know, one episode a week, released every, you know, Friday night at midnight or Saturday morning, however you want to look at it. But this will be like a side podcast. I'm not sure how frequent it will be. Maybe it'll be once a week. Maybe it'll be a little less frequent than that. We'll just do them as we do them. We'll release them, and we'll release them through the podcast, but it will be TTD, D&D, mm-hmm. and it'll be a totally different thing. If you're into it, that's cool. If you're not into it, that's cool too. And we'll just see how it goes. It could be really fun. Maybe it'll draw some people that are interested in that, and maybe they'll start listening to our podcast. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. We'll probably be tweeting about it as the episode draws nearer, and we'll let y'all know when it gets released.
And hopefully it will be kind of funny too.
Hopefully it'll be hilarious. This D&D gets really funny. Y'all are going to have fun. I promise.
Yeah. I was playing a really simple version with some of my friends, and the Dungeon Master rolled dice to see, like, as someone was opening a book, he rolled dice to see if you would get a splinter from that book. It was completely, like, unrelated to the story at all.
Roll to see if you can read.
And it was like, it was either, like, you open the book and you get a splinter, or you open the book but you don't get a splinter. Like, it was completely,
it was just,
it had
completely
no significance
irrelevant
to the story.
Yeah, it all completely depends. It's, D&D is one of those games where, like, it's a completely different game depending on what kind of dungeon master you have, what kind of story you have, and what kind of people you're playing with. So yeah, keep a heads up for that if that's something that you might be interested in.
Yeah. So if you follow us on any of the social media, we'll try to send an alert out when the episodes drop. But might be something you're interested in. We'll
Should we drop the disclaimer that Phoebe wanted us to put in here?
That she will have nothing to do with this.
Phoebe wanted everybody to know she has nothing to do with this. She does.
Henry, be careful.
Be careful. Careful with your button pressing there. Yeah, Phoebe wants nothing to do with this. She wants a disclaimer. She was not involved in this. She will not be participating. We'll see. Oh, we might have guest stars on episodes. So, you know, let us know on Twitter if that's something that you'd be interested in, guest podcasting with us for an episode.
Yeah, so we can have characters just kind of come in and out of the story,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you can join us, like, via Skype or something and be part of the D&D game.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right, we try to do all the important news stories here on the Talk to Dad News. The first story we have is a story out of China. A flight was delayed for 8 hours because a woman, an elderly passenger, tossed coins into the jet engine for good luck.
It sounds like Florida Man.
An 80-year-old woman with the last name of Qi, I think it's Q-I-U, was seen tossing coins into the engine of an Airbus 320 while boarding the plane scheduled to fly from Pudong to Gwangju with wish a safe flight. So she thought it would be good luck to toss a few coins into the jet engine. Passengers who had already boarded the plane were asked to get off as mechanics searched to determine if any coins were left inside the engine. Crews recovered one coin that landed inside the engine and 8 more surrounding the area during the inspection, which lasted 5 hours. The pilot said serious damage, including engine failure, can occur if metal is sucked into the engine.
That's been scary.
So when you're about to get on a plane, don't throw a bunch of coins into the jet engine.
Man, I was planning on that.
Somebody must have been like, aw, dude, Phil, there's another old lady throwing coins in there again. We're going to have to, you know, shut off everything. We're going to have to delay this flight another hour. Can't believe these old ladies they won't stop throwing coins in there. They won't stop throwing coins in there, Phil. Come on.
Maybe, good luck.
Maybe the old lady's actually a leprechaun.
That's so scary. What if, like, no one really noticed her doing it and the plane took off and the engine blew up because there were coins rattling
around?
It's
the opposite of good luck.
So you know, like, what the big jet looks like, right? The big jet engine. It's like the big round thing on the wing.
The big old turbines.
And, like, sometimes they'll have problems, like birds will fly in and it'll cause the engine to explode. Coins in the engine are a really bad idea.
But wait, wouldn't the plane be so high up that birds wouldn't fly around?
No, there are birds. Because no.
It
takes off
from
the ground and then goes up. Like when it's at cruising altitude, probably not. But they take off and then they land. That's when they have problems with birds, is like during the takeoff and the landing. Mm. Sometimes. Something that happens. Like, did you hear about the plane that landed in the Hudson River? Where Sully Sullivan landed the plane in the river. Did you hear about that? Many years ago.
Sullivan landed a plane? What?
There was this pilot.
The guy from Monsters, Inc. You didn't hear about that?
They actually made a movie about it that starred Tom Hanks, but it was about, like, this guy took off from, I think it was LaGuardia Airport in New York, and right as he took off, like, it hit, like, a flock of geese, and it blew up the engines, and then he, like, landed the plane in the river just outside of New York City and saved the whole crew and all the passengers by landing it in the water, like, gliding it into the water. It was a really big story, maybe about, I don't know, like probably 8 years ago.
Wait, and I only know what was from the trailer, but isn't that in The Mummy?
No.
Oh, because there is a plane crash.
Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise
are different actors.
Oh.
Tom Hanks is the guy who played Woody in the Toy Story movie.
And David S. Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is a different dude altogether.
There was a plane crash in The Mummy, I'm pretty sure, from the trailers, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure...
But it's not The Mummy.
Fatal?
We're not talking about The Mummy. We're talking about
a
true life story of something that actually happened.
Yeah, no, and that's actually how he becomes The Mummy, probably. I've never seen, I don't know anything about this movie, but he...
I hear it's terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it has Tom Cruise in it. That's automatically...
He's been in some good movies, but I've heard that one is not one of them. So that's our first story. William, do you want to share a second story?
Okay. British inventor shows off world's largest fidget spinner. The British man who made the record books with a large, world's largest Rubik's Cube, unveiled this latest creation, the world's largest fidget spinner. Tony Fisher, who made headlines last year when he broke the Guinness World Record for the world's largest Rubik's Cube and spent 2 days solving the puzzle, posted a video showing his latest gigantic version of a trendy toy. Fisher shows the massive fidget spinner, which has a diameter of about 11 feet, actually functions like its smaller counterpart, by picking it up and making it spin while he balances it on his hand. Fisher said he believes that his homemade fidget spinner is the largest in the world.
So I'm trying to find the video, because there was a video that went along with this article that actually shows the fidget spinner. So it said it was how big? Like 11 feet?
In diameter.
In diameter. I'm trying to find it.
I wonder if when you spin it, it would like blow wind in your face.
And here it is. Maybe we can play the video. I don't know if there's audio on this because I haven't actually watched the video, but I saw that it is linked on the story.
Sharknado 3, Fidget Spinnernado.
It's the spin-pocalypse.
Fidget spinners happen.
But it's like as big as he is. It's gigantic.
He's 11 feet tall?
Okay, it's even bigger than he is.
You cannot spin that.
Here is the video. All right, so he's standing in his backyard. He is lifting this giant spinner. I don't know what it's made of, but he's able to lift it.
It looks flat.
He's like, I don't know, balancing it on his head or something. I don't know what he's doing here. And he is spinning it. So that is the world's largest fidget spinner.
That's really flat. That's bonkers.
I don't think that helps ADD.
So I will post a link to that video, I don't know, on Twitter or something so that people can look at it if they want to. Or you can just Google world's biggest fidget spinner. What was the name of the guy who invented it?
British inventor. Oh, wait, Tony Fisher.
Tony Fisher.
British inventor.
Tony Fisher.
Hilarious name.
It would be an appropriate name if he was actually a British and an inventor, but his name is Tony Fisher.
I didn't know if it said it on here.
He also made the world's biggest Rubik's Cube. I think you said that in the article.
Yeah.
So check it out.
He should make the world's biggest fidget cube.
World's biggest fidget spinner.
Because I heard that they allowed fidget spinners during the star test.
Elizabeth, do you want to do your story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or no, they love fidget cubes.
Huge homely mastiff named Martha wins world's ugliest dog. Martha is big, ugly, lazy, and gassy, and a world champion. In a competition annually dominated by the old, the tiny, and the hairless, the 3-year-old, 125-pound Napoleon Mastiff used her lollygagging youth to win the 29th annual World's Ugliest Dog Contest. She was a favorite of the Northern California crowd from the start, often plopping down on her side with her droopy face spread across the ground when she was supposed to be showing off. The judges didn't even need to hear her signature snore to give her the award. "Do you know you just won the World's Ugliest Dog Contest?" asked Carrie Sanders of NBC News, one of the three judges who gave Martha the crown. Her handler, Shirley Zindler, asked for her. "I'd gloat, but I need a nap." Martha lumbered away with $1,500, a flashy trophy, and a trip to New York for media appearances, all things she could hardly care less about. The dog from nearby Sebastopol, I don't know, was rescued when she was nearly blind from neglect by the Dogwood Animal Rescue Project in Sonoma County, where the contest was held. After several surgeries, she can now see again, Zindler said. The only animal in this year's contest too big to be held by her handler, Martha beat out 13 other dogs, most of them the kind of older, smaller dogs who win here. Mo, a 16-year-old Brussels Griffin pug mix from Santa Rosa, California, who is the oldest in the competition, came in second. He'd lost his hearing and sight, but his sense of smell is strong, and he was enjoying all the smells at the Sonoma Marin Fair, where the contest is held, including funnel cakes and other fried goodies. Chase, a 14-year-old Chinese crested hark mix, came all the way from Neath, UK, United Kingdom, to take third place. The contestants were judged on first impressions, unusual attributes, personality, and audience reaction. Many of the contestants were adopted. Monkey, a 6-year-old Brussels Griffin, and Icky, a 6-year-old unknown breed, were both rescued from the homes of hoarders. These dogs, some with acne, others with tongues permanently sticking out, are used to getting called ugly. But for their owners, it was love at first sight. he's my sexy boy. Vicky Andler of Davis, California, said of her 8-year-old Chinese crested named Zoomer.
He's my sexy boy.
And
so there is a picture of
she looks
Mary.
Exhausted.
Martha?
Yeah, Martha.
She isn't that ugly.
Well, when you look at like her other pictures.
She's pretty ugly.
She's pretty ugly.
In an adorable way.
She's so foldy.
Like, she's so ugly that she's kind of
honestly,
adorable.
they say that she can see, but like she's so foldy. I don't know. I think her eye folds just go right over her eyes.
Have you ever seen a mastiff?
Oh, boy.
I feel like making a competition for world's ugliest dog is just kind of wrong.
It's kind of mean, but it's, I mean, it's not inaccurate.
Have you ever seen a mastiff? They're giant. They have these mm-hmm. huge heads, and they're just really big dogs. Does it say how big Martha was?
Very foldy. Let's see.
The owner is probably like, oh, well, I mean, I asked him if he wanted to be in the competition for world's ugliest dog, and he didn't say no.
No, they just said that she was too big to be held by her owners.
Yeah, usually they're like 150 pounds or something. They're
really big dogs. There was one that lived next door to us.
Dogs.
Used to be not us isn't like the family, but like our apartment on campus, we used to have one that lived like right next door to us, and he would stare at the window, and he would rub his jowls on the window pane and get all slobbery and bark at us.
And when they bark, they have this really deep voice. Bark. It's like woof bark woof bark.
Yeah. It kind of is muffled by like the sheer amount of jowls they have. It's all very slobbery.
Bork. Bork.
So one more story. I had to do this story because, one, last week we talked a lot about rabid animals, specifically raccoons. Mm-hmm. And we often talk about bobcats. So when I saw there was a story about a rabid bobcat, I knew we had to do it because we try to do all the important news stories here on Talk to Dad News. This is a story out of Sunapee, New Hampshire, and this is from WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. An 80-year-old Sunapee woman was attacked by a rabid bobcat Sunday night and fended the animal off with a gardening tool and the help of her dogs. Elsie Dabrowski was bitten on her face, arm, and back after the animal ran at her while she was gardening. I don't even know where he came from, Dabrowski said. She said she wasn't sure it was happening. One minute she was taking care of her roses, and the next she was on the ground with the bobcat biting her. It's still hard to believe, she said. This little thing came and attacked me, but he was strong. He was really strong. Dabrowski said she was beating the animal with a sickle, but it wouldn't let go. She said she had one thought while the attack was happening. Where are the dogs, she said, and they came, and they came, and they chased him off. The dogs chased the bobcat under a nearby shed. Dabrowski's son, who lives nearby, heard the screams. He came with a shotgun, and he shot it, Dabrowski said. Mm. Fish and Game Department officials took the bobcat's body away, and the state lab confirmed Monday that it had rabies. Any mammal is vulnerable, and any animal that exhibits those aggressive behaviors is certainly a likely candidate for rabies.
Oof.
Dabrowski said she got 50 stitches after the attack, but she knows she was lucky. You bet your life, she said. It could have got my eye. It could have got my jugular, the way he was biting. He could have got anything, you know. God is good. Dabrowski will have a series of rabies shots after that, she says. She plans to have a few days of rest before returning to her yard. So rabies, animals with rabies do not mess around. They're very aggressive. They're very strong, and they will go after you. So I'm pretty impressed that this 80-year-old lady and her dogs were able to fend off rabid bobcat.
Good dogs. Did they mention what kind of dogs they were? Like they.
I don't think it says. Although I think I want to say like one story. I looked at a couple stories of this, and I think there were pictures of them. They kind of looked like just like labs or something.
Okay, I mean like big dogs.
Yeah, like you know they weren't tiny dogs. They were big dogs. But way to go, dogs! Way to chase off the bobcat.
Good dogs.
And I picture her with the sickle, just like waving the sickle. But the problem with animals that have rabies is they don't act like normal animals. They're extremely aggressive, and that's all they know is aggression.
They'll go after you. Yeah.
So, had to do a story about bobcats and rabid animals. But
I've always wondered, like, how conscious people are when they have rabies.
I think they're still conscious. They're just really, really angry and aggressive. I'm not really sure.
And also, first of all, can humans get rabies? And second of all,
what
is it like to have rabies, like from their point of view?
Yes, they can, but it's really rare. I did a project on this a couple years ago. They can get rabies, but it's really rare because if you have rabies, you will know because it's almost impossible to get rabies unless you're bitten by some sort of obviously rabid animal, and it has a pretty long incubation period, and so it usually doesn't progress to that state. But with animals, they can't, like, get a doctor or anything, and they're out in the wild. Like, they can get bitten by anything. They're way more likely to get rabies and get to that, like, frenzied state.
But did you research, like, what it's like to have rabies?
Maybe. I don't know. Some people think that rabies could have fed into werewolf myths, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
So, like, the idea that it just turns you into a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people, when they get bitten by a rabid animal, they know that that's what's happening, and so they get the rabies shots. And it takes a while to, like, incubate and to cause problems. So if you get the shots right away, it's not going to do anything to you.
Yeah.
Seems like that would cause...
I think it is kind of a long treatment process.
Seems we like talked that about cause, this last time. Yeah. Seems like that would cause vampire myths, because if you get bitten, they become one of them.
Some sort of, like... Well, same with werewolves, too. I think it just, you know, fed into, like, monster myths and stuff like that. Like vampires and werewolves and things.
All right. Next, we're going to try to get some of our listeners who wanted to participate on the podcast. We're going to try and get them on the phone. And the phone, in this case, is Skype. So this could take a few minutes. I've never done it before. We did it once with Elizabeth when she was at college, but I've never done it with multiple people. We're going to see how this works. Don't know whether it works or not, but we will be back in a bit with some of our listeners. All right, so let's get going again. So I think we got the call hooked up. So right now we have joining us some of our listeners, Emily, Luke, and Elizabeth. Luke, I believe, is William's age. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah.
Hello.
So Luke,
hey, Luke.
Hello.
You just got back from scout camp, right?
I did.
Did you have a good time at scout camp?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I just got back from scout camp.
Yeah, I think Luke went the week after you went.
Yeah, probably.
It was maybe not as hot at the camp he went to as the one you went to.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are So these are all of our listeners.
these are a good portion of our listeners.
Okay, so I have a question for y'all. How did y'all find us? And why are you still listening?
Emily, tell them.
Okay, well, I listened to Sorry Not Sorry with Jen and Kim Jones.
Oh, yeah?
And
oh, yeah, we listened to that.
Like a year ago, I guess, you guys tweeted in and said, like, hey, I bought all this mic equipment and we're going to start a podcast. And I thought, that sounds like a fun podcast. And then started listening.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that we did that. That's the prime advertising spot right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Emily, and you are older and you are married with a kid, right?
That's correct.
Are you the oldest in the family?
I am.
Okay. And Elizabeth, I believe, is Phoebe's age. Phoebe's not on the podcast this week, but she'll be back next week.
This is going to get confusing.
Yeah. So we have two Elizabeths here. Elizabeth on our side and Elizabeth on your side.
Hey.
We should, like,
Elizabeth 1 and Elizabeth 2. I don't know.
Wait, am I Elizabeth 1 or Elizabeth 2? I was here first.
You're Elizabeth 1.
I think. Okay, yes. Yes.
Okay, I'll accept that.
sorry, Elizabeth 2.
It's okay. I guess it is your family after all. Number 2.
Yeah, Henry's on drops, so he's having fun with that.
All right, so I thought we could do a quick segment. Let's do either or.
Oh, yeah, either or.
Okay, so this will be a big mega round of either or with lots of people on it. But you guys know how this works. I mention two things. You tell me which one you think is the right thing, and I tell you if you're right or wrong.
This is one of my favorite segments.
So the first either or is juice box or juice pouch.
Oh, I know the difference. Juice pouch.
Number 2.
I think juice box.
Is that
I'm gonna
my
go.
Cue,
does Henry? That mean Henry? Does that mean you think it's juice pouch?
Oh, hold on. He's Henry doesn't have a mic.
He just has the drops.
Yeah, through drops.
He so says yes.
He says, yeah, he can't find the yes thing right now. I'm going to say juice box.
I'm saying juice pouch. This is Elizabeth 2.
Elizabeth 2 says juice pouch. Luke?
I say juice box.
Emily?
I say juice pouch. Pouch.
I'm thankful that Luke's with me on okay. this one.
So Luke and Elizabeth 1 said juice box.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, William, Emily, and Elizabeth.
Literally everyone else.
Said juice pouch. And those who said juice pouch.
Ah.
That was the right answer. Ah, juice box.
Juice boxes are so fun, though.
Henry knows why. It's because you can squeeze every last bit out of a juice
box. Yeah, pouch. And they have like that cool twist.
With a juice box, you're always going to have a little bit of juice left because you can't squeeze it out.
Just keep especially with the keep slurping, you cowards.
Especially with the applesauce, it feels so satisfying to like click it and then twist it.
It's also kind of fun to figure out how to poke the straw into the juice pouch. Okay. It takes a little bit of skill.
I want to hear from our listeners, like why did y'all choose what you chose?
Well, for me, as a mom with a toddler, a juice pouch is so much more. You can fit it in like a small spot of your backpack, but the box is so bulky. Not gonna fit as well.
That's that's true. And it seems like juice boxes would be able to like pop easier or get holes.
Yeah.
Like juice pouch, you don't have that problem.
Exactly.
So the right answer was juice pouch. All right, the next either or is biscuits or dinner rolls. William?
Number 2.
Henry says dinner rolls. William?
Biscuits. Sorry. Go ahead, Will.
Dinner rolls.
Biscuits are so much better. I'm so much about biscuits. I'm really so stoked about biscuits.
Elizabeth 2.
Elizabeth 2 here. I'm going to go ahead and say dinner rolls.
Okay, Luke.
I got to say dinner rolls too.
Tough crowd.
Dinner roll.
Emily.
Dinner roll.
Man,
is Elizabeth one the only one who said biscuits?
Henry changed his.
Henry
said biscuits.
He's prone to peer pressure. I Henry's with.
But there is no peer pressure. There is no peer pressure. It's only you.
Henry and Elizabeth.
I would break the law for a biscuit.
Everyone else.
Oh, yeah. What? I feel so validated.
A
in my
really
love of
good biscuit. Now dinner rolls are really good, but a really good biscuit is way better than a dinner roll. But you have to have a really good biscuit.
Sorry.
Yeah, I do have the Lion House rolls. That is the recipe that I usually use when I do make dinner rolls from the Lion House cookbook. Those are good. But a really good biscuit is just like buttery and flaky. You have to get it from a really good restaurant, preferably in the South.
Neither sounds good though, because I just came back from a game night with my friends and I feel really trashy.
So biscuits was the right answer. Next one. I have a lot of food themed ones this time. All right.
I think these are the last.
I've got six, and the first three are food. The rest are not food.
Were you hungry when you wrote this?
Probably. I was probably hungry. The next either or is grilled cheese sandwich or quesadilla.
Oh, that's a no brainer.
Oh, yeah, quesadilla.
Yep. Number 2. Number 1.
Henry's having a hard time making up his mind.
Number 1.
Henry says grilled.
Henry, stop!
Henry Come says on. Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I also say grilled cheese sandwich.
Quesadilla.
Elizabeth 2.
Quesadilla.
Luke.
Grilled cheese.
Yes, Luke.
Emily.
Back on me and Henry's team.
Grilled cheese.
Okay, especially quesadillas from restaurants are so good.
All right, the correct answer is grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah!
But quesadillas are so crisp, and I like the soft texture to it.
There's nothing wrong with a quesadilla. Quesadillas can be really good, especially if they have, like, you know, like fajita meat and peppers in them. But a grilled cheese sandwich, when it's perfectly done, is better than just about any other food.
Because
you got to butter both sides of it, and you got to grill it till it's just, like, crispy on both sides and gooey in the middle. They're
I knew.
Really
Stop
good.
Talking about
okay,
food.
I know a heathen And you might be listening right now, heathen, who insists that I had to show them how to make a grilled cheese sandwich, because the way that they did it was they put two slices of bread in the toaster, and then when those are done, they take out a slice of like Kraft cheese, and then they just microwave the entire thing together. No.
That's not right. So a really good grilled cheese sandwich has to be grilled, and it has to have butter on both sides of the bread and a really good cheese that melts in the middle. Maybe you can have other stuff in it too, but that's like the essence of a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Maybe I've just gotten a little sick of it because we kind of have tomato soup like every other week, and we always have that with it.
Grilled cheese sandwiches
or maybe just food just doesn't sound good to me right now.
I do think that if the question had been worded like, which one of these would you rather throw as hard as you can like a frisbee, I would definitely have chose quesadilla.
Yeah, if that were the question, that would be the right answer. All right, the next one. The next either or, this is not a food either or. The next one is Jupiter or Saturn, and I'm talking about the planets.
Jupiter. When I was in third through fifth grade.
No, Henry, stop!
I can see your finger. I'm gonna have to confiscate this.
Quit it.
All right. So William says Jupiter. Henry says Saturn. Elizabeth won.
What?
We'll come back to you later, Kay.
I won already?
Elizabeth won. Do you want Jupiter or Saturn? Which is your answer?
Oh, yeah, Saturn. I like the rings.
Elizabeth, 2?
Saturn, same reason.
Luke?
I've got to say Saturn for the same reason as well.
Emily?
Yeah, Saturn.
All right, everyone who said Saturn is correct.
You guys are wrong.
Okay, it is a close call though, because like
Jupiter is pretty cool and it's pretty freaky. And they're finding out new crazy things about Jupiter all the time. I read an article the other day that said that there are over 200 moons of Jupiter.
No, actually, when I was in third to fifth grade, I read that there are actually 63 moons discovered.
They keep finding more and more.
But I memorized like the four largest Jupiter moons and what they're like.
Yeah.
Ganymede was the largest one. It's one third the size of Earth, larger than Mercury. Castellio is like the moon, like our moon. Europa has ice on it and might have water on it. And Io has a bunch of volcanoes. It looks like moldy cheese.
Well, you're one to talk.
But Saturn does win because it's got those rings. And the really cool thing about Saturn, like
Jupiter has rings too.
But if you're looking at it through a telescope, it just looks so cool. It looks just like the CBS symbol. You know what the CBS symbol looks like with the little eye?
Nobody cares about the CBS symbol.
But it looks different. Like if you look at Jupiter through a telescope, it just looks like a disc. If you look at Saturn through a telescope, it looks really cool.
That's a really specific reason for liking
that. It is, and it's why Saturn is the right answer. So the next one.
It's not the right answer.
The next either or is mummy or zombie.
Oof.
I definitely know which one you're going to say.
A mummy kind of is a zombie, so you have to think about this really carefully.
Let's break this down.
Because
a zombie has kind of like the pop culture edge, but mummies like have like thousands of years of like culture and history behind it. Like, I don't know.
I just need to use Will's mic for this one. I just have to explain why it's zombies. Okay, right. Zombies are much more suspenseful when they come from the ground.
Wait, if you use the mic, that means you can't play you can't spam number two or number one.
Stop! Don't give him ideas. Come on.
No. All right, William, mummy or zombie?
Okay, mummy.
Henry?
Zombie.
Elizabeth 1.
I'm going to have to go with zombies.
Elizabeth 2.
Mummy.
Luke?
Zombie.
Emily?
Mummy.
All right, the zombies correct answer is mummy.
Why?
There are a couple of reasons.
I knew you were going to say that.
There are a couple of reasons. One, because mummies have mystical powers. They can put a curse on you.
Oh, that's true.
And the other thing is, if I had a choice between fighting a mummy or a zombie, I would choose fighting the mummy. Even though they have the mystical power to put a curse on me, I would still rather fight the mummy because there's never just one zombie. It's a zombie horde, and it is it's a post-apocalyptic situation where you've got hordes of zombies, so you can never get away from them all, and you may one
may one day become
a zombie.
Okay, so the correct answer but a lot of times in mummy movies, like they'll have like mystical like Anubis type bodyguards. Because they're like royalty,
with dog heads,
right?
That's true.
Yeah,
those
with
dog heads.
The dog
those
head, the jackal headed dead.
Egyptian gods with dog heads are so creepy.
The jackal headed dead, you do have to watch out for. That's a good point.
But yeah, so, why did y'all choose the ones that you... I just want to hear from our listeners more. Y'all seem cool.
I chose mummy just because I don't know, it just seems kind of cool. That's probably why.
The mummies have a little bit of charisma.
Yeah.
Zombies just sort of groan.
Like you guys were saying, zombies are so, I don't know, like the pop culture around them makes them seem so freaky, and I just don't like them.
Oh, fun story. Fun story. When I was in second and third grade, there was these bathrooms at our school that were like really dimly lit. And there's always water on the floor, and like all of the toilets were too low, and the pipes made weird noises. And I was so scared of that one specific set of bathrooms. I was convinced that there were like a zombie's going to crawl up the toilet and grab me.
A zombie?
Yeah,
could be mummies.
I don't remember where I got that specific fear, but I was definitely scared of it constantly.
Like a mummy hand reaching out of the toilet.
Not a sewer zombie. Yeah.
Wait, Luke.
So, I always just think about like toilet snakes, which we've had a story about toilet snakes, or like toilet alligators.
Someone flushed
an alligator, grew up in
basilisk.
What were you saying, Will?
I was saying, Luke, why did you choose yours?
Oh, I chose a zombie because it was like my childhood fear, and I don't.
Yeah, me too. Just, see, yeah. Yeah.
So why would you choose that, Luke? It's which one's better? So you wouldn't want to.
Well, either or is kind of ambiguous like that. It's just whatever dad thinks is whatever dad's rationale is.
Hey, you know,
just whatever I deem correct.
You know, mummies have really bad allergies because they have really bad allergies because they're always coughing.
Oh no! Oh. Come on.
And did you know that mummies are great singers?
Why?
You can hear them rapping.
Oh boy!
Ew. Okay, so we've established that they've got like Anubis. Okay, so if there's a horde of zombies and they decided to fight one mummy with magical powers that they can curse you, and they have two Anubis bodyguards, who do you think would win?
The zombies, duh.
Let's say a horde of like 50 zombies.
50 zombies versus one mummy and all of the mummy's minions.
Well, what two Anubis body muscular jackal men?
Two Anubis bodyguards, one mummy versus 50 zombies.
Yes,
I bet the original story of Snow White was probably like Prince Charming found Snow White, but he was like a few thousand years late, and Snow White was this disgusting mummy.
I don't understand enough about mummy lore. Like, so a vampire, it's a stake through the heart. A werewolf, it's a silver bullet. A zombie, it's you destroy the brain.
Maybe it's...
How do you kill a mummy? I don't know how you kill a mummy.
See, maybe it's like...
Maybe a vampire has to stick to their heart.
Maybe it's like a ghost rules. Like, you gotta be like, oh, you're just mad because, Tootin' Hepsifit.
Just let them
stole
sleep.
Your juice or whatever. Like, let me grab you some juice real quick.
There's probably some like mystic spell you have to put on
there. Or you gotta punch it real hard.
Yeah.
Mummies are just so creepy.
That's how they did it in Scooby-Doo, I think.
Yeah, that's how Scooby-Doo did it.
Mummies, I bet that if you just gave them some face cream, they'd let you be. Mostly just mummy. Okay, mummy, like, underneath all the toilet paper, mummies look so much more scary than...
Yeah, they're basically just really freaky zombies.
Yeah.
Okay, but, like, with magical curse powers.
We have one more either-or, and I'm going to let our listeners go first this time. The last either or is seal or sea lion.
Oh, that's hard.
Number two.
Emily?
I'm going to go seal.
Sea lions are the one.
Luke?
Sea lion is the same type that we saw at Cosmo Mexico, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Sea lions.
Elizabeth, too?
I don't really know the difference, but I'm just going to say sea lions.
Seals are the big blubbery ones with the fins, and then sea lions are kind of like otters, but aquatic.
Okay.
Except sea lions can be really big, too, though.
I guess. I mean, maybe. I'm not an expert.
Okay.
What? Elizabeth won?
Seals. It's a hard call.
Wait, did everyone...
William, what did you say?
I said sea lions.
Henry?
Sea lions.
All right.
Sea lions.
Everyone who said sea lion was correct. That is the right answer.
They're cuter.
Come on.
Oh. Okay, sea lions.
They all have, right. Sea lions are the ones that... I think sea lions are more trainable. They have the sea lion show.
No, the really seals, have a seals seal are more... Show. Yeah, they do, though.
It's the sea lion
we
show.
We saw one. Okay,
that was sea lions. Sea lions.
No, those were seals.
It was a sea lion.
It was a sea lion. No, because they shook their flippers, and sea lions don't have flippers. Yeah, they have paws. Well, I'm thinking of otters. Oh, my gosh. No! I'm thinking of otters. There's too many.
They're pretty similar, but sea lions are just a little bit better. Seals are really cute, and they have the big eyes, but sea lions are kind of awesome.
Racist. They're trainable. All the same.
Otters are pretty cool. They weren't part of this either or. Otters are adorable because they hold each other's hands so they don't float apart.
Plus, sea lions are cool because they have like this thing that's like part tail and part rear legs.
And they can kind of stand up on their hind flippers.
I've disgraced myself in front of our viewers.
Our listeners.
And also,
I can't believe... So wait, seal, what is the difference?
That seal could do amazing stuff. Like, it could listen to a song.
Wait. Let me tell Elizabeth...
Which ones are more like dogs?
What the difference is here. The difference is that sea lion is the correct answer and seal is the wrong answer.
Okay, but which ones are more like dogs?
Sea lions are a little bit more like dogs.
Then I choose
sea lions.
Cute. Sea lions are cool because... The sea lion that we saw in Cozumel, Mexico on our cruise, it could, like, open its mouth. It could, like, the trainer could play music and it would open its mouth whenever it heard the person talk, so it looked like it was singing.
Which, the ones that go, woof, 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 the good
sea
boys. Lines.
That was pretty
the good.
Good
boys. Thank you.
I think they both do that, to be fair. I think sea lion. They're I think both, seals bark,
Then
too.
They're both good boys. Both the answer.
They're both good, but sea lion is the correct answer.
I was so trained to smell for the camera after it did a trick. And so, it could do amazing stuff.
So thank you so much for our listeners, Emily, Luke,
thank you.
And Elizabeth, for participating.
We don't really know why.
All jokes aside, we do really appreciate you listening and tuning in.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be our segment. We'll be happy to have you guys on another time sometime. All right, so thanks, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So the next thing we're going to do is a dad quiz.
Dad quiz.
That's pretty good.
All right. So this week, in fact, just a couple of days ago, I think 3 days ago, so we're recording this on the 29th, I believe on the 26th, so June 26th, was the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone being published. So Harry Potter is something that you kids really don't remember never existing, right? I remember when the first books came out and everyone started talking about
it. I vaguely remember.
Harry Potter has been a big cultural force for a long time. Time Magazine actually put together what they're calling the ultimate Harry Potter quiz, find out which house you truly belong to. So this is the ultimate Harry Potter sorting house quiz.
Last time I took this.
And they in the article, they talk a little bit about like how they came up with this. They actually researched this. They came up with a 21-question quiz that will tell you which house you belong to. And they use different characteristics having to do with your personality. So there's actually a sophisticated field of psychology dealing with personality and psychology. Mm-hmm. And they used this psychology to sort everyone into the different Harry Potter houses. They relied on something called the Big Five test, which measures five traits: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And then they used these to put people into one of the four Harry Potter houses. So it's kind of interesting. You know, there are a lot of these quizzes have been around for a while. Like, they're pretty easy to find on BuzzFeed or other internet sites. But this one, actually, they used some science of psychology to create this quiz. So we're going to take this quiz. Everyone here is going to take it. And then we're going to tell our listeners which house we ended up in.
Last
click on the graphic that says, let's start.
Last time I took a test that did this, I got half Ravenclaw and half Hufflepuff.
All right, well, let's see what we get this time.
See, I am really looking forward to this because the only thing that I know is I'm not Slytherin. And every single time I think about it, like, more and more, I'm just like, but okay, I could be Hufflepuff, but it says that I'm Gryffindor, but I still really think I should be in Ravenclaw sometimes. But then the next day I'll be like, no, I feel like I'm really more of a Hufflepuff. And it's just, results vary. So right. I feel like the fact that this has science on their side will help me.
Yeah. So like a lot of personality quizzes, there's not like a right or a wrong answer, and your questions are weighted. So the first question is, I often check my work over repeatedly to find any mistakes. Agree or disagree from 1 to 7. If you strongly agree, it's 7. If you strongly disagree, it's 1.
I also took this, like, it's said to be like an extremely elaborate character test. And then I ended up getting one that wasn't matched at all. It had like 80 questions, and I was like, ugh.
Okay, so I think they are scrambled. It looks like people are getting them in different.
It's Mrs. Weasley for some reason.
So my first one is, I often check my work repeatedly to find any mistakes. And that is true. I will go back and read something I wrote and look for typos. And there almost always are typos. So I'm going to rate that a 6. What's your first one, Henry? Or what's your first one, Elizabeth?
Mine is, even if something scares me, I will not back down. No. I think at a certain point, you just gotta.
These are almost,
like, I was leaning more towards the agree because I'm assuming it's something important, but like, if it's not, I'm just gonna.
This is hard because it's on a scale from 1 to 7, which is a really unfamiliar scale.
That's okay. You can figure it out. So my second one is, I see myself as critical and quarrelsome. Do I agree or disagree? I have to give myself neutral there because sometimes I am a little.
Yeah, me too.
Likely to disagree with people. My third one is, I tend to exploit others towards my own end. Disagree with that. Any other questions that look interesting to you? One of them is, I do only the minimum amount of work needed to get by. I see myself as sympathetic and warm.
I'm an ordinary person who's no better than other. Who's going to answer yes on that?
I think that I am
wait, ordinary more person who's no better than others.
I
agree with that. I'm just an ordinary person, and I don't deserve any kind of special treatment.
I have used flattery to get my way. Even if I feel terrified. Oh, this is the one you had, right? Even if I feel terrified, I will stay in the situation until I have done what I need to do. No, that's a little different.
No, that's a little different. Yeah. I just got that one too.
All right, some of the others. These are good questions. I like them, though. I am an ordinary person who's no better than the others. That's the one you had. I tend to face my fears. Is that the one you had?
I have that one.
I will do things even though they seem to be dangerous. If it's dangerous, I don't know why I would. I mean, you know,
when working,
seem to be dangerous, maybe, but like.
It says when working, I often set ambitious goals for myself. Yeah, I'm one of those people who always like. Tries to make something like super duper big and then never really finishes it.
Yeah, same.
I push myself very hard when trying to achieve a goal.
I would do things even though they seem to be dangerous. I mean, sometimes.
Let's see. I'm on the third page. Is everyone making some progress here?
I'm on the second page. What does critical and quarrelsome mean?
So that means you will criticize others and you will argue with them.
I
see myself as disorganized, careless.
I saw that one.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my first ones.
Okay, I got my result.
All right, everyone try to move quickly. I would want people to treat me as though I were superior to them. If there is an important reason to face something that scares me, I will face it. If I am worried or anxious about something, I will face it. I will do or face it anyway. Well, there's a lot that are kind of very similar to that one.
Yeah.
Even if something scares me, I will not back down. Yeah. I see myself as dependable, self-disciplined.
Okay, now I'm on page 3.
I don't really see myself as dependable or self. Well, I see myself as, I guess, dependable, but
there,
not
so there are only 3 pages, right?
Yeah. It's pretty short.
All right. Are we ready to find out our houses?
Yep, I got mine.
All right.
And
have you got yours
Ravenclaw.
Yet?
Ravenclaw.
William, what?
I believe it. Hold on.
William's still working
I'm
on his.
I'm 0% Slytherin.
I'm 0% Slytherin, too.
I thought it'd be in Hufflepuff,
right,
but that
so
was my second one.
Do you
want
to read your answer there, Henry?
Your personality shows a high degree of worth ethic and humility, which are valued among members of Ravenclaw House. I have 46.2% Ravenclaw, 37.8% Hufflepuff, 16% Gryffindor, and 0% Slytherin.
I also got Ravenclaw. I'm 63% Ravenclaw, 35.5% Hufflepuff. So
yeah, it sounds like you got it by a long shot. I believe that you guys would be in Ravenclaw.
Gryffindor 1.4%, Slytherin 0.1%.
All right, let's do mine next because mine was also similar. I was 66.7% Ravenclaw, 23.1% Hufflepuff, 9.3% Gryffindor, and 0.9% Slytherin. So if I can make an observation here, I am not very much like Harry Potter because Harry Potter was Gryffindor, but he could have gone to Slytherin. So yeah. I'm sort of the opposite of that. Like, I'm not very much Gryffindor and I'm not at all Slytherin, but I'm a lot Ravenclaw and a little bit Hufflepuff. Elizabeth, do you want to tell us what you got?
Mine are right neck and neck, but Hufflepuff won out. I got like same. Kind of a like right neck and neck of Hufflepuff and Gryffindor, and then Ravenclaw I got like 10.8%. Hufflepuff was 45.7%, and Gryffindor was 43.5%, and I got 0% for Slytherin.
Oh, so you were Gryffindor was second?
Gryffindor was just barely second.
These are surprisingly accurate.
Hufflepuff was your... What does it say for your...
It says, your personality shows a high degree of friendliness and humility, which are valued among members of Hufflepuff House. I think that because I don't view myself as having a very good work ethic, yeah, that definitely lowered my Ravenclaw score. Humility, I think, is a trait shared by Ravenclaw. I think it picks out your 2 most dominant traits.
I can see you being Hufflepuff. Mine says that I have a high degree of worth ethic and friendliness.
Mom just walked up, and I know she took this quiz last night.
What'd she get?
I want to know what she got.
Did you get a little bit Slytherin?
I got a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll.
I don't understand what song that's from, but I understand that it probably is from one.
Yeah, it is. What do you think I would have gotten?
I think probably Ravenclaw with a Hufflepuff second.
Yeah.
Just like
Dad. That's what I got.
But also, I mean, that's just what
was
I
it
guessed.
Okay. Similar to my
37.8
score.
And 46.2.
Dad was like overwhelmingly Ravenclaw, and I was like moderately Ravenclaw with Hufflepuff kind of a closer second.
Yeah, that seems accurate.
And then I had just a tiny bit of Gryffindor and no Slytherin at all.
There's this one like joke BuzzFeed quiz over which Harry Potter character you are.
I feel like this quiz is just an exercise in like, well, am I lazier than I am
ambitious?
Well,
or
definitely.
Deceitful.
Yeah, but there's this one.
The thing about Gryffindor versus Hufflepuff for me, I think that was kind of the clincher is I am not a risk taker, and I think although I'm somewhat lazy, or at least like not at all really ambitious, I am more afraid than I am. I'm more afraid of like taking risks than I am like afraid of hard work.
Yeah,
there's this one like joke, BuzzFeed, which Harry Potter character are you? And it was really obvious when you were going to be Voldemort, like way too obvious, because I would say, like, what's your favorite subject in school? Math, science, social studies, evil.
or like
I would
what's your favorite color? Green, like snakes, or like red because I'm brave, or like,
say, like
the
what
color
do you want to
of
be
books.
What do you want to be in when you grow up, like an astronaut? Engineer, and they're like, well, then I'd be like, I want to start an evil cult to take over the world.
So I'm not I'm not surprised. I would not be surprised if our family sort of has a strong Ravenclaw streak in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll have to have Phoebe take this quiz and report back.
Oh, Phoebe would definitely be Ravenclaw. I have no doubt in my mind.
Phoebe says that she's a Slytherin, though.
And I'm not that surprised that there's
a little bit of a Slytherin apologist, but I think that she'd definitely be Ravenclaw.
Actually, she says that she used to be Slytherin.
Yeah, did you get Ravenclaw?
Mom says Phoebe took this quiz.
Her results were similar to mine, but with actually Hufflepuff narrowly beating out Ravenclaw.
Oh, similar to Elizabeth.
Huh.
Well, no, because Hufflepuff didn't have very much Gryffindor at all.
Yeah, it's weird that I was the only one who got very much Gryffindor.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Dad is the most Slytherin.
No, I'm not.
0.9%?
0.9% is the most?
Everybody else got 0%.
Besides Boo, Hugo got 1.1%.
Or 0.1%. 0% for me. Why do you think
Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw. Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw are both strong in our family.
Yeah, why do you think Gryffindor was so close for me? Nobody else really got...
Maybe just because you identify with the heroes of the book. I don't know.
I'm 1,000.
Well, that's not what the question asks, though. It's not really personality based. That's weird.
I'm 1,000th% Slytherin. Watch out for me.
All right. So that is our dad quiz. We have one last thing left to do, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Okay, so this treat yourself, I made another trip to the store known as Five Below because they have a lot of crazy candy there. Mm-hmm. And I found some candy that was sort of similar in theme. Two of the candies are Icy brand and one is Slush Puppy brand. So Icy and Slush Puppy are both convenience store slush drinks that are not Slurpees.
Slush Puppy sounds gross.
A Slush Puppy is just like a Slurpee, but it's a Slush Puppy.
But it's made of puppies. Dog.
There's a dog that's a...
There's a doge.
That is the mascot for it. Icy, same thing, except it's a polar bear.
Plus, you guys are going to hate me for this, but I never really liked Hush Puppies.
Hush Puppies are shoes.
Hush Puppies are drinks.
They're not Hush Puppies.
They're not Hush Puppies.
But it's a pun.
They're good, but they're okay.
Hush Puppies are shoes.
No, it's not a pun. It just sounds similar.
They're not shoes. They're foods.
Hush Puppies are shoes?
What is going on right now?
Yeah, there are shoes called Hush Puppies.
Really?
And they're also like little fried food that you eat with barbecue sometimes.
Wait, what is going on now? Although, I guess...
Like, anyone can even know that.
All right. Do we have to start this again?
No, let's just keep going.
So,
keep on trucking.
We've got the three kinds of candy here. I'm not really sure how we're going to do this because these are... a lot easier eaten as one person. Maybe what we have to do is just sort of pour a little bit onto a plate and you can sample some.
They're eaten as one person?
The Icy is spray candy. I don't even know what that means.
you're supposed to spray it into your mouth?
Yeah, it's like those baby bottles where you just spray it into your mouth.
Like a garbage person, yes.
There is Icy spray candy, cherry flavored. There is Icy squeeze candy. It's in a tube like toothpaste. And there is Slush Puppy Dip and Lick Lollipop with Powder Candy.
So it's almost all liquid candy.
We may just have to, put a little bit of the powder on a plate and we can try some.
By the way, there is such thing as liquid candy.
So what do you want? What should we try first? Spray candy, squeeze candy, or Dip and Lick Powder Candy?
Spray.
I said Dip and Lick.
I need like directions here. I don't know how these work. Do I just push it down and squirt it into my mouth?
Here, let's.
Elizabeth's taking a look at it.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
She took the cap off, and then it's just got a little spray.
You squirt it right in your. Wow. All
right.
Oh yeah, that does taste like a Slurpee. It's a little... The method of transferring it to your system is not ideal.
Well, I was at Scout Camp. I got this, like, Warheads liquid candy that you just, like, squeeze into your mouth.
I passed
it. It was so
sour.
You can't feel it.
You can't... You gotta really press it down. Just really pump this.
I'll squirt it in your mouth.
But it was so sour that I eventually got blisters on my tongue because it was so sour.
Ugh, that's gross.
Right. Squirt it in your mouth. Open your mouth. Squirt it in.
I mean, I can see why they put it in like a spray because I wouldn't just drink that stuff. It'd be kind of gross to drink. It's kind of gross to put your...
Right. I need more. No. I need more.
Henry needs more. Does Henry really like it?
Don't put your mouth on it, King.
I don't know. I haven't had enough.
Can I just, like, hose water at first?
you're kind of right.
Yeah, that's can I see? Sour.
It's pretty sour.
Not really sour.
Can we have some rankings here?
I don't know what to think about that.
I might have to try it again, too.
You know, I should call it delicious because I've got nothing else to say.
Oh, that's...
Yum, 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 yum.
Wow.
I'm going to call it gross.
See, I also thought it was gross, but I keep wanting more. I keep wanting to put more in my mouth. I don't know.
It's very sour and not good. I don't like it.
Very sour and not good.
And it makes your mouth all pucker up.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm. And it kind of hits the back of your throat when you squeeze it. When you spray it
totally
in, it hits
does.
The back of your throat, and it's not a good feeling. I don't like it.
You know, I'm going to change my rating. Okay.
I mean, if someone gave it to me, I'd have it.
It's got a like a pump spray.
I could not tell
like
you how I feel about this. This is
just like sour hose water.
It's so
anyone can even know that.
Yes, that's exactly. I don't know. It tastes like the flavor itself isn't bad. Like it does taste like a Slurpee, but
it's okay.
But
it just tastes like
it's so gross.
See, doesn't it taste like
it's
sour?
Really sour though. I would expect it to be
it's
a
really
more.
Sour.
Doesn't it taste like sour hose water?
I would expect it to be more sweet if it's going to be like an icy.
If the government wasn't putting fluoride in our water, like they just dumped like green apple or like cherry flavoring into the water, like that's what the hose water would taste like.
All right. The next one we're going to try is icy squeeze candy. And I think the way we're going to do it is everyone just stick a finger out and I'm going to squeeze some onto your finger.
Gross. Okay.
But Elizabeth, that's why you want to put your
finger. Make sure your finger is not disgusting.
That's why you only, but Elizabeth, what you're saying, that's why you only want the purest water, untouched by man. This podcast is sponsored by Fiji.
Good goof.
Mm. It's actually pretty
like,
good.
It's a little bit, it's very gooey. It reminds me of like a melted Jolly Rancher almost.
Yeah, I'd actually put it on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's gross.
Cherry I would. Water.
Okay, yep.
It's the same flavor as the spray.
Okay, never mind. It's the texture's weird. It's too.
I just say it's okay.
It's
although
sour,
you need some more.
Kind it's of sour and it's gooey.
Must have
in
more.
A weird way. It
yeah,
reminds
it's too
me of
slimy
the,
for me. Too slimy.
In a weird way, it reminds me of the spray like Juicy Drop taffy, where like you like put this kind of syrupy stuff on taffy. That's really sour.
Well,
that's
so what are you
Juicy
calling
Drop
it, Elizabeth?
It's gross. It's too slimy. It reminds me of like have you ever left like out. Like a Jolly Rancher.
Seriously? That is so gross.
Have you left it in a puddle of water and it's dissolved a little bit and there's like a slime around it? Like that's what that tastes like. Is just.
I agree with you. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, I'd
William,
say
William, what do you think?
Meh. Meh.
Meh.
M-E-A.
M-E-A.
All right. So those are the icy ones. I thought they were both gross. Henry thought what? The second one was okay?
Yeah, they're both okay.
They're both okay?
These are pretty gross.
I think you have a higher tolerance for sour candy
for
than
gross
I do.
Stuff.
This is an interesting...
I'm not big into sour candy.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
I like sour candy, right. But these are
so like
just
one,
gross.
This one comes with a lollipop. Like the top of the drink is like a lollipop. We're not going to use the lollipop because we'd all have to lick it and that's gross.
We're all family.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to dump a little bit of powder into the palm of everyone's hands and then you can just sort of... pop it in your mouth.
Oh, it's like those like baby pops that come with the crushy stuff and the lollipop. Oh wait, no, this is powder.
Yeah, this is gonna be so gross.
This is like Fun Dip.
Oh yeah,
it is like Fun Dip.
It's supposed to be like,
you know,
Fun
like
Dip and Breacher.
I like how if you each treat yourself, we do something different.
That's just Fun Dip.
It tastes like chalk. Oh my gosh, it literally tastes like chalk.
Oh, that's sour.
I ate more.
It's like
must
sour and bitter. It tastes like chalk.
It's good at first, but then it becomes sour.
It's just Fun
it's not
Dip
as sour
Smarties.
As the icy, though, right?
It's
oh, no,
Smarties
it does get
Fun
sour.
Dip.
It starts out sweet, and then it gets sour.
Wait, I have to do something.
Oh,
can I
really
have
sour.
More?
Like, it's really... Oh, no.
Can I have some more, Dad?
I think we needed that lollipop to balance the sweet out. I think that's where all the... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be watermelon flavor, but I'm not tasting any watermelon.
I'm not tasting
any sour.
It tastes like... it literally tastes like... I've eaten chalk before. I don't know.
tastes like the chalk you've eaten. Is it like the chalk of your childhood?
Like a mineral, well, you know, childhood, maybe.
Don't combine them.
Last week might have been my childhood.
Nope. This would be like a really good practical joke. Like the really sweet up person then.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah, I think it's so sweet, so I thought it was going to be sweet, and then it gets really sour.
It smells sweet, I think, is the thing. And then, like, you put it on your tongue, and, like, it goes right to the back of your tongue and just zaps you. It's like a taser for your tongue. It is tase yourself. Right. I'm just taser-tongued myself.
Ratings, everyone?
Gross.
So meh. Gross.
0 stars.
I'm going to call this one
meh.
Meh also.
What? One start you.
Meh.
M-E-A. Ew. Seriously?
I'm going to dump the rest of this down the trash because I didn't eat all of it.
I'm going to say my reaction to this is yum, 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 yum. Ew.
Yum, 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 yum.
Ew.
All right.
Because it's
that's about right because it starts out good and then it just gets super sour and a little bit hard to deal with.
If no one's going to eat the...
All right. So that is our podcast. This has been kind of a crazy podcast. But a fun podcast.
That was a fun one.
I'd like to thank Elizabeth. I'd like to thank Elizabeth number one, Elizabeth number two. I would like to thank William, and I would like to thank Luke. I would like to thank Henry, and I would like to thank Emily for participating in this podcast.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
This has been a lot of fun. So anyone else who's listening, if you want to participate, let us know. We have figured out how to do it. We have the technology. We can have you join and participate in a segment with us, and would love to do it in the future. If you want to, if you are listening, let us know. You can reach out to us on Twitter at TTD Podcast, on Instagram or Facebook at Talk to Dad Podcast. You can go to talktodadpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play. If you want to help us out, something you can do is you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. That's a good thing to do. And this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.